Originality.
You.
Welcome to Autographs. My name is Nick Singh, and just know originality is on the horizon. Let's go. Are you folks ready for the archives? Today I'm about to drop an episode on y'all that was taken about three and a half years ago. And we actually did it over the phone. So if the audio that's about to come is a little bit rough and sketchy, it's honestly just because we recorded an actual phone conversation. Like I said, it was about 3.5 years ago at the time. I was just starting to interview people and I didn't have any equipment. I was at university at the time and I had no money. So I just did what I could with what I had. And what that meant was just using my little old phone and an app that I found to literally record conversations. So I actually kind of like it. I think it's very relatable so far as like a sound quality, but some people give me shit for it. But anyways, it's definitely audible. So I think that it'll be a good listen regardless. This episode was and is my favorite episode I've ever had on this show and ever done, never produced on this show. And the reason for that is actually because during the conversation, at the very end, I asked this individual a personal question about something that I was going through. And he helped me solve it in a way that was so new, and so meaningful to me that I just literally got off that call and I felt like my life had changed. And that's the reason why it became my favorite episode and still is to this day, because I never looked back from that moment and didn't know that I was a better person because of it. So this episode is very special to my heart. It's with a gentleman by the name of John Henry. You actually have seen him or heard him on the show before because I had him on recently when I went to New York City, but that was actually the second time I had him on the show, believe it or not. The first time was this conversation you're about to hear now, before we'd ever met, before we knew of each other. This was just me honestly DMing him on Instagram and the homie Adam Hamway, which was his videographer slash assistant slash his many other things at that time in his life. And Adam and I have become friends since, and just shout out to Adam for helping set this one up. But anyways, in this episode, you're going to find a lot of original thoughts from John himself. He's gone on to do some incredible stuff with his life. And at this stage, he runs a venture capital firm in New York City with his three business partners. And their main goal and their main mission is to literally change the face of entrepreneurship by investing solely in diverse founders from women and people of color. And there's an incredible purpose behind this mission, and it's getting a lot of just really noteworthy and deserving attention right now. So John's efforts and his team's efforts just continue to surprise me. He's done very well for himself. He's a young buck, but he sure as hell doesn't move like it. And I appreciate every bit of that. So I hope you folks enjoy what's about to come. You're listening to Autographs. My name is Nick Singh, your host, and I will catch you folks on the other end. Peace.
Hey, is it John?
Speaking.
John, it's Nick. How are you?
Hey, Nick.
Adam set up the call. We're doing the podcast call at around 4:45.
Okay, yeah. Adam mentioned it. How are you, man?
I'm amazing, man. Does it ring the right bells? Because if now's not a good time, I'm super flexible this evening.
No, I appreciate it. Yeah, he did let me know. He didn't give me a specific time, but he said that he'd be calling in the afternoon.
Okay,
Should I pull up a website or something that I can look at as we speak?
Yeah, absolutely, man. I'm on I'm on SoundCloud. So if you check out my link on SoundCloud, so what I'll do is I'll set up some contacts and then I'll have you go to the actual website in just a moment. So why don't I do that?
Sure.
Cool. So founded the podcast probably about a year or so ago, but it didn't really start with like the intention of actually wanting to like interview people and share it. I just was 20 years old and I had like a ton of questions and I wanted to get them answered. And I heard somebody say, I don't forget who it was, that if you want to get questions answered, you got to go to the people who are actually doing it. So I decided to make that happen. So my first, I guess, interview was in New York City. I flew down to New York to go meet with Gary Vaynerchuk and we did a walk through New York. It was super fun. It was super cool. And then coincidentally, I just ended up interviewing a bunch of people after that, once again, with no intention to ever share them. Just to get some questions off my chest that I wanted to answer. And some of those people ended up being high profile, like Casey Neistat, some dragons from Dragon's Den, Tom Bilyeu, soon to be Lewis Howes, and like a handful of others. And I was just listening back to the interviews, and it was literally a few weeks ago, and I was just like, I should share these. You know what I mean? I should share these with more people. And then that idea festered for a while. So I have about 23 interviews in storage, and a handful of them are with Gary Vee. I have two with him, two with Casey, one with Tom, one coming up with Lewis, just did one with the founder of Lululemon, and now you, and then a handful of others. So they're being drip released as I go. So not all of them are available yet, but I'm going to send you the link. I'll send it to you through DM right now so you have it. And yeah, you could check it out. So it's a growing thing. So awesome. just wanted to set up some context for you. But yeah, man, you know, I actually wanted to start by letting you know that I not only appreciate this, I'll send it to you on, I'll just give you a YouTube link if that's cool. I appreciate this. And also I wanted to clear something up in that I had cold called you like X amount of months ago because your number was on your Instagram, and then you picked up the phone and you're like, hello. Oh, and I was just like, you were like, hello. And I was just like, hey, is this John? And you're like, yeah, who's this? And I was just like, yeah, bro, that was me. And then I remember just hearing your expression over the phone and just being like, oh my God, this is so fucked. Like, I don't even know why I called this guy. And you were just like, yeah, dude, like I'm heading into a meeting, but just shoot me an email. And I was just like, okay. But I wanted to clear it.
You got an email and you're like, hey, I'm the guy who cold called you, right?
Yeah, man. And then I was mentioning that to, and then watch this. I reached out to Adam, and reaching out to Adam was super candid. I didn't know he was your like kind of like low-key assistant. I just knew he did video for you. And I loved the Why Not Now. And I know he didn't do that, but I wanted to get a link for that because you had taken it out of your bio because I want to show it to some friends. And then he had also shot something else that you posted a snippet of. And I wanted to talk to him about videography because I do filmmaking too. And then through that conversation, I'd mentioned, yeah, John probably thinks I'm like hella whack because I just straight cold called him once upon a time. He goes, dude, wait, you're the guy who cold called him? And I was just like, holy shit, it made the table, eh? So once I let you know that, right, I didn't mean any harm by it.
There was, if anything, man, that's the kind of initiative that, you know, creates for like memorable moments and creates opportunities. So it's good that you did.
Cool. I really appreciate it, man. And, you know, from a timing perspective, just so you know, because my podcast is growing, I always let anybody I'm talking to kind of dictate when or when they can't talk. So let me start it out by saying this, John. If you literally had 5 minutes right now, I would use it. So what are you looking at for timing this evening with me, just so I could get a kind of contextual basis before I start diving into some questions?
I think like 15 to 20 minutes could make for, you know, a good discussion that's long enough to get into, you know, certain areas that you'd like to discuss.
Yeah, 15 to 20 is perfect for me. That's usually how long I go for anyway. So, I mean, without further ado, we might as well dive in, right?
Yeah, let's do it.
Cool. So, I didn't even bother asking. I feel bad now. How's the day been so far, man? Has it been a solid Monday or?
Just, you know, staying focused. Usually do a lot of prep work during the weekends to. Like for me, Sunday night is just a key time for the week's outlook. You know, it's a good time to sit down, and just kind of get your ducks in a row, remind yourself of this, of what's coming up, and remind yourself of what has to be done immediately for you to make sure that you're on track. So anyway, Monday's going good, man.
Understood, man. That's amazing. Yeah. I'm having a great Monday as well. And, that all makes perfect sense. I was actually watching your story earlier today, and or maybe it was yesterday, and you were talking about how key Sundays are. So that's super dope. And, you know, on top of that, I mean, one thing I'd love to fly into, just because some people that are actually listening to this and that will listen to this, I'm going to direct them to your documentary, because whoever did that, like, no joke, John, I swear to God, I think I've watched that thing like over 15 times. And I literally watched it again. Dude, I'm not just doing it to blow smoke, man. It was so well done. Like, I showed it to all my filmmaking friends. I showed it to all my, I blasted it out on numerous. I watched it today, man. It just, it hit my core. Something about it just touched my soul. And I'm going to share that in the show notes for this actual podcast. But I mean, it would be amazing if like you gave us a quick debriefing so we could set up, we can set up kind of like a story basis for kind of where you're coming from in this conversation, if you don't mind.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thanks for watching that. And I'm glad it was
so well done.
It did, man. So all credit goes to the incredibly talented team at Breakwater Studios. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so for context, for those listening, I won't go fully into it, but broad strokes is, just coming from a pretty humble family with no particular business experience or anything, and no real interest in that. Most of when I was growing up, anyway, I was kind of in music, studying jazz, and anyway, moved to New York City. And while there, just was presented with opportunities that I took when presented to me. And so my first job was like working as a doorman. And then while doing that, and through doing that with a good attitude, met a resident who offered me a business opportunity to pretty much start like a dry cleaning service. So I ended up taking him up on it. And through another resident, got introduced to the film industry. So we started handling all the wardrobe for these big film accounts like Law and Order and Boardwalk Empire. And anyway, man, like I would end up dropping out of college my first semester to do this thing. It was not a smooth ride. It was not, hey, my parents have money tucked away that, you know, why don't I ask my mom and dad or friends and family for like seed money? None of that. Cause my family's broke. And on top of that, like I'm financially responsible at this, partially financially responsible. When you come from an immigrant family, you're expected to contribute.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't a situation where I could kind of, you know, bum out on free rent, either. And not that there's anything wrong with that. In fact, like I can't wait to be able to afford my kids that opportunity, but that's just not the reality that I was coming from. So anyway, it just kind of intensified the pressure, but it was a lot of fun doing it. So I did that. And we grew it one account at a time, man. And I would start by lugging laundry through the train and then eventually make it enough to like get a car to do it mobily. And for just like additional context, I didn't own a laundry facility. I had a friend that did. I would go to these big accounts. I would pick up all their laundry at 3 a.m. I would deliver it to the cleaner. I would, you know, the guy would charge me, let's say like $2 a piece. I would charge him $14 a piece and I would make the spread. So I was not even a good student, but like that's very good math. Not on a piece by piece basis, but like when you look at volume, you know, you can make a good amount of cash here. So anyway, did that for a couple of years, learned a lot of lessons, ended up growing to a team of 15 people. And we expanded to housekeeping and dog walking. And at some point I was, you know, growing in my business acumen and the company was acquired maybe 2 years in. So that was a great experience. I was 21 when we exited.
Wow.
So that kind of changed. Yeah, that exit changed my life in many respects. Like the least important of them and the least significant was the financial aspect, because it wasn't a headline exit. You know, it wasn't like a 50 or $100 million exit at all. I hadn't raised any capital on it. It was a small, modest win. But more importantly than anything, it built my confidence as an entrepreneur. It built, I just internalized a lot of lessons. I got some actual experience. I had to hire people. I had to fire people. You know, I've sued back. Like, I've gone through, you know, I had to, like, actually get customers, close on deals, negotiate big transactions, small transactions, deal with lawyers, learn about insurance, just, like, a bunch of real business shit that you only learn when you're growing it.
Absolutely.
And anyway, so just kind of fast forward after that, we started a friend and I started an incubator in Harlem, which is a not-for-profit incubator, because we wanted to just have a space where cool people can kind of work out of. And that has grown into a venture fund. So now I am a full-time investor because we were around such cool companies all the time. We eventually got the idea that we should probably create a for-profit vehicle to invest in these companies and participate in their growth and help them grow. And so that is called Harlem Capital. We have 6 investments to date, in media companies, in retail, consumer goods, all kinds of stuff.
And now I also acquire real estate. I'm pretty passionate about buying real estate right now. I do a lot of speaking. And anyway, that kind of brings us modern to present day.
Very cool, man.
For full context. Yeah.
Yeah, no, 100%. And like I said, I'm going to link up your documentary in the show notes to kind of give that dramatic touch that's really needed, like genuinely throughout your story. It's super cool. And I just want to commend you for something. I think as I'm talking to you here, I totally got this from your Instagram and I mean your stories and your videos online, but you have this nature about you, and I mean you seem like a pretty self-aware guy, so I'm sure that you know it, but it never hurts to hear a good thing twice. And that nature is just like a really it's a super calm, I don't know, like I'm really at a loss for words, but it's a super calm but like inspiring and confident energy. And it comes from,
oh,
and this is,
I'm
not finished. here comes the kicker. It comes from the best place. You know, I've talked to a lot of people and, you know, every now and again, I get to talk to an individual like Tom Bilyeu or Gary Vaynerchuk or Tony Robbins or Lewis Howes. And every single time I do, like their nature is just so giving. They just want the best for not only themselves, but others. And every single thread of who they are and where they came from and their history from a career standpoint to their personal history all has to do with like an evolving process of those who and where they learn how to contribute more to humanity. And it's really rare to find people like that. And I think that you have that under your belt. And I'm just super, super grateful to be talking right now because it's brought a different energy to me over this conversation. So A, your story is legit and hearing it from the horse's mouth itself, that's freaking amazing. But B, who you are through it all, I'm really excited to see where you're going with this, man. And I really mean that from my heart.
Appreciate it, man. Appreciate it. You have a great way with words and direct energy yourself. So kudos.
Thank you. And you know what? I kind of wanted to build off that because I was thinking, I think that you know this. We live in an age of just total all out. Everybody wants to be an entrepreneur. I've experienced it and I've gotten my ass kicked fully and truly. Like at the core, I'm not an entrepreneur, but I do have tendencies. But I know that you're purebred and I'd love for you to give a few context points on this. I think that a lot of people going into entrepreneurship find themselves, and I've found people like this who are my age and your age. And by the way, how old are you right now? So you must be what, 22, 23?
I'm 24 at the moment.
Okay, you're 24. So that makes you a 93.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Yeah, I'm a 95. So everybody kind of in their 20s, I find them just hustling their faces off. And while that's amazing, I feel that a lot of people are missing out on something that I hold dear and true, which is fulfillment. They're achieving so much in their life and they're making these massive strides forward. But when you talk to them, they're missing that kind of soul and that spirit that really is why they got into it in the first place. And I think that soul and that spirit just comes from making space for yourself, you know, like while you're growing and while you're achieving all this, making time to just kind of enjoy your life. And I don't mean going out. I'm not I think that that's for certain people. It's not for me, but I mean, just giving yourself room to breathe and grow at not a comfortable rate, but at a rate that you can handle. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on what you think actually creates a fulfilled life and how you can help other people not only achieve everything they want, but also be really fulfilled throughout the process. Because I've met people who have achieved everything and they have all this money and they're empty inside. And it's heartbreaking because I'm 22 and I just don't even want that life for myself. And I'd love for you to comment on that.
Yep. Sure. So a few things to note here. One is this is a highly subjective matter. And one of the things that I've been fortunate enough to I've been a part of is I host a podcast for eBay. So we have a podcast called Open for Business and it's co-produced by Gimlet Media.
Cool.
Who I believe is one of the best in the business. And anyway, we set out to record an episode on this around work-life balance. And the nice thing about working with Gimlet and with eBay is that, you know, we had the resources available to really do some investigative work, like true journalism. So had the chance to fly around and meet with a bunch of different subject matter experts and just really discuss the subject in full. And anyway, after doing all that and just kind of drawing our own conclusions, we observed that pretty much it's just a personal thing, man. Like when you hear the word balance, automatically we think 50-50, right? Mm-hmm. So I think folks hear the term work-life balance and they hear, okay, you know, you get to work in, but you also get an equal amount of play in. Mm-hmm. And from what I can tell, it just ends up being a very personal thing on like what you personally want for yourself. So for me, my work-life balance is zero like social and 100% work.
Yeah.
That happens to be the phase that I'm in right now. Like that might change, and I would want it to change because I'm doing it for it to change in a way. And also like the type of work that you have to do is different. I found this to be true for me, right? So when I started, my work was literally lugging sacks of laundry around, like being very physical, doing a lot of cold calling, driving around. And that was grueling. Mm-hmm. And yet today I've worked all day, but I've been like in and out of meetings and blah, blah, blah. So the nature of work evolves, but the nature of what your work-life balance should be also evolves because of the career phase. So anyway, just wanted to proceed with that. But then,
well said.
You know, it's hard to answer this question for anyone else, but for me, like I just like doing shit that gets me excited, man. Like that's really my only metric. Like I feel uncomfortable working in a job. It's been a while since I've had one, but just like the dynamic of someone, and maybe it was because of the type of job that I was working, but just the dynamic of having someone just, you know, kind of make me do something that I don't want to do was unbearable for me. I was like, dude, I can't do this. Or if I would present an idea to the team and it would get shot down, not because of any other reason other than that person like said no.
Yeah.
Because I said so, right? That's the answer. So anyway, there's nothing wrong with being part of a team, especially if that team is collaborative and is inclusive of your ideas. And I feel like the workplace is getting more and more like that. So when you join companies like Google and Facebook, man, it's incredibly nurturing to be in. They encourage you to be yourself, to speak up, to, you know, all kinds of stuff. So for anyone listening, especially if it's the younger generation like ours, those end up being great places to work, man. And then on top of that, you're incredibly well compensated, right? So you're getting 130, 150 a year.
Yeah.
And they cover all your food and you get benefits. Like, let's not get it twisted, bro. Like, that is a very nice position to be in.
Absolutely.
And if you want to make way less, go through way more bullshit, sometimes not even make rent and be fucking stressed out, then be an entrepreneur or be a freelancer. And that's what, you know, that's what you're going
to
get.
That's what it comes down
but
to.
I think it's only worth, in closing, like, it's only worth going through all the bullshit if you can't get out of a regular work life what makes you tick.
Yeah.
You know, if you can find it there and you're satisfied, then that's great. But if you can't find it, you just don't feel kind of comfortable at work and like you just want to kind of do your own thing, then I would encourage people to take a gamble, man.
Man, I love that advice because it really hits on a string that I hold true, and I can tell that you do as well. I think that I Tony Robbins actually said this, and he said the secret to happiness is progress. And I started running an inventory of my life and thinking the times that I was most happy, he's right. I was making progress in the areas that counted for me. And it's super subjective, like super subjective, like whether it was emotional growth or relationship growth and sometimes business growth, right? It's always different. And it's cool because I could feel the vibe where you don't really differentiate your work and your play because you're having so much fun doing what you're doing. And I feel like that's a true goal, right? It's a true merging of roads where you can kind of combine the fulfillment and achievement into one. And then you just become like a really meta version where you can just build in a way that's so achievement oriented, but at the same time be so full on the inside that you can actually make time for a conversation like this and really pour into it. So that's amazing. And I just from your story, I have to ask you that because it sounds like you got that lesson, whether you realize it or not consciously, that like you actually enjoy yourself. And you know what, moving on to onto the next part, I think we got about like 5 minutes left here. So this is like a really changing landscape in terms of the roads and the kind of question I'm going to ask, but it's super, like, it's honestly jokes. I just ask people who I think would find it funny and fun, and I get that impression from you. So I'm going to go ahead with it. And it kind of requires that I preface the question with something. So let me go ahead and do that. So here it is. Who do you look up to? Like, I mean, I mean, not a family member. Maybe it's like a business person or maybe it's an artist. Like, who do you listen to frequently? Like, are you a Drake fan? Tell me a little about who you look up to. I'm not as concerned with why, but I'm curious as to who, and you'll understand why in a second.
Right. Well, yeah, I could throw a few people in that bucket. I mean, yeah, man, Drake is killing the game.
Dude, Drake is the man. Okay, yo, let's go with Drake. You want to go with Drake for the fun of it?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, cool. Okay. Watch this. So look, you're in Toronto, right? You're in the six, for no better reason than to see a Drake concert in his hometown. And for some random ass reason, the lights go off, the music stops, and a spotlight shows up. And that spotlight is searching. You're in the crowd, and you're like, what the hell's going on? And it, boom, lands on you. It lands on John Henry. And he goes, yo, whoever got that spotlight on them, I want them to come to the stage right now. And everybody's roaring, and they're cheering, and you're heading up stage, and you're passing through security. And now you're here on stage with Drake, and you're like, what's going on? He gives you a mic, and he goes, yo, look, I'm so confident in my ability to beat anybody on planet Earth at anything that here's the wager. If you beat me at anything, I'm going to give you $5 million. And if I win, you don't have to give me anything. All I get is the satisfaction of me knowing that I'm the best. And he says, here's a microphone. You get to pick the challenge. What would you challenge him on?
I would challenge him on legacy.
On legacy?
Yep.
Interesting. So hold on. Explain that. I've never heard anybody. Usually I'll get a fucked up answer. Somebody will tell me like it just calls on like the thing that you're most confident in. The people be like, yeah. Oh, challenge them to like a pull-up competition or something messed up. So yeah. Hold on. Legacy. I'm interested in you expanding on that. That's cool. Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like a cop-out would be like choosing something that I know, like a little skill that I know I'm better at than that. I'm better at than him than he is.
Yeah.
But I feel like the true arena ends up being like life. And because I listen to his music so much, I know that the most important thing is like leaving a mark, like doing your thing, man. Right. Like yeah. That's what matters most to him and personally to me. Mm-hmm. So if I want to test myself against, you know, another person I like admire and consider to be great, then I want to do it on the biggest stage.
Dude, that's a cool answer, man. That's cool as hell.
That's a cool question. But
it just kind of gets you amped. Right? You're just like thinking like, yo, this would be sick if it actually happened. Nobody's ever answered
that
question.
I'm coming for that legacy, dude.
Like, dog, move, man. I got you. But you're like, I got you. I got us. But no, man, that's terrific. Yeah, I've actually only had one person ever answer the question with a really long-term focused answer, and he was Chip Wilson, the founder of Lululemon. He was really cool. Yeah, I challenged him with Jeff Bezos because he doesn't really listen to Drake.
Right.
Naturally, and he gave me a really cool answer as well. Yeah. But yeah, man. You know what?
Man. I mean, like, if I could share something that just came to mind, is like,
please do.
When I see cats like Drake, you know, make. I don't know, whatever they gross a year, right? Like Floyd, Mayweather made the $100 million on that fight night.
Yeah.
You see Hove tying up these huge deals, man. You know, 275 with you know, Live Nation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. I don't see these deals and think, oh, damn. Like, wow, the lucky few. I look at these and I get inspired and I say, God damn. Like, all right, if they can tie up that size of deal, all right, cool. They set the stage. Like, they set a precedent. You know, like, let me up my rate, right? Like, there's no reason. I remember when Mayweather made the $100 million, I was like, dude, there's no reason a single man can make that. And like, I can't. Like, who is he to be any different than me? Right? Like, I respect, you know, he's put in the work and everything. And like, and you know, I just feel like, fuck, we can put in the work too. Grind our way up there, like grow our brand equity. Like, we can just do more. Right. So as a result, you know, I have a pending TV deal right now. Like, you know, I have a pending book deal. I speak often. Like, I'm doing my own personal content. I'm podcasting. Like, I'm also handling my investments. I'm just trying to do the most I reasonably can, man. And the great thing about loving your work is that the more you do, I don't get tired, dude. I don't get tired.
Yeah.
The more I do my shit, the more I want to do it. Right. So, like, I'm pacing back and forth right now in my office, and people are looking at me strange.
Dude,
I feel that, man. So, dude, anyway, Drizzy gets me pumped.
Oh yeah, bro. Those guys are freaking gangsters. And man, it's crazy that you're saying that. Like, even like, just to put it down to the minute here, like I'm literally in an empty lecture hall at my university, like pacing around right now doing the exact same shit. Just because, like, who would I be if I wasn't? You know, like who would I be if I wasn't? Right. So watch it. And man, that's super cool. I couldn't feel more agreeance with everything that you said, literally throughout this call. So I really appreciate it. And just to tie it up, I'm curious. So you're 24, and one thing that, actually, you know what, I'm not even going to go there. You know, I'm going to be respectful of your time. That's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to say, if you have 2 minutes to answer a personal question that has nothing to do with the podcast, I'd love that. But if you don't, I totally understand. I could email you it and we could go from there, or we could just kind of move on and I could figure it out myself. It's not that big of a deal, but I would love your opinion.
Yeah, sure. Tell you what, it's been 27 minutes. Let's round it up to 3 minutes and then wrap it up at even 30. Is that good?
Yeah, I'm down for that. Okay, cool. Great. So here it is. I am 22 and I know I have a lot to give. Super good with my words. I love being able to share that both through podcasting, yada, yada, yada. Now, I have this part of my personality that's also like really entertaining. I'm like a fun guy. I consider myself decently funny. And I'm having trouble wrapping that into what I'm doing here with my podcasting because I really want to grow this. And I'm also growing an online business on the side, which I'm really passionate about. It's a lot of fun. But I feel like every single time I think about going to publish on YouTube, vlogging, that type of thing, it stresses me because it seems overwhelming. It seems like my hands are dipped in too many cookie jars. And I'm curious if you could see maybe a pattern, shed some light, shed some assistance. I'm curious as to what you think.
Yeah, well, the fact that you're asking this question right now to me means that this thought has been bubbling in your mind and it keeps coming back, right? Like,
very
and that to me is the greatest indicator of listening to yourself. And that to me is exactly what we should do. Right? So, and this is just my personal, like,
okay,
you know, experience, but this is how I nurture my intuition, right? And you could, like, I have developed the almost a crutch of going back to mentors for very important things because I value their opinion, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, if I have a mentor, I'd be like, hey, you know, and you reach out to him. But what happens is over time, you know, we get good at what we do the most of. So over time, what you develop is getting good at calling mentors when you have a tough decision. But if instead you nurture the process of like going to yourself and listening to yourself, then you get very good at honing your own intuition. So, you know, and the way I measure my intuition and what is what keeps coming back to me over and over, whether it's like, yo, I know I got to be going to the gym more. I know I got to be eating better. I know I got to be whatever. That's what it is for me at the moment, right? Like if it's bubbling back to you, Nick, then I think that you got to listen to it and weave it in and don't be afraid to cut out things that you know aren't as important, right? Like in your mind right now, you know what it is that's kind of fat and you know what it is where you can trim the fat and stay tight. And, you know, I tweeted this the other day, but the way I like to remind myself of that is I envision my best self and then I reverse engineer it.
Mm.
So I, you know, like if you can close your eyes and be like, yo, who's the ideal Nick? Right. How is he like? What does he look like? What is he wearing? Where is he? What is he doing for a living?
How's he showing up?
How's he conducting? How do you?
I said, how's he showing up? You know what I mean? Like how's he showing up?
How's he showing up? Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and then you reverse engineer that. So, you know, I think you see for yourself in your mind what you want. You seem like a guy who's got, you know, his vision's on point. So I don't know if that ends up being like a media personality or if that ends up, you know, however that ends up manifesting itself, I think is where you go towards.
I really appreciate it, man. And, you know, thank you for taking the time to answer that for me. Last but not least, I already did some things for you that I just want you to know about if they come up in the future and I hit you up, just so you know where they're coming from.
Right.
I don't know if you follow Tony Robbins or anything like that, but they asked me a few months ago to put together an influencer list of people they could reach out to start bringing to events. I don't really care if you go or if you don't. But I put your name down and they know about you. I sent them your documentary. They're fans and you might get a call someday. And I think that might be beneficial. Number two, if you're ever looking to get some speaking gigs together in Canada, I'm connected to a really big, she's a friend of mine. She's a conference organizer. She brought out Gary, brought out Casey. And I would love to connect you guys if you want that. If you're not looking to grow speaking right now, that's totally cool. And number three, I didn't know that you had a podcast, but if there's anybody that I've interviewed that I could connect you with from Tom Billy out to Lewis Howes or whomever, let me know. I'd be happy to make an introduction and allow you to take from there, because I think that you deserve to have him on your show.
Wow, dude, you're awesome, man. Hey, just separately, just my personal kudos. Just, you know, your presence is warming. You know how to ask what in ways that like never makes anyone feel pressured or to do anything, but you present the option and you kind of leave it up to the listener. So from that perspective, I think you have a level of mastery there that I want you to keep honing, and it sounds like you're committed to, so keep doing that. But to address your points, yeah, man, sounds good. Sounds good on all fronts. I certainly appreciate the intro to Robbins. Over time, I will end up taking you up on the Canada. I've never been to Canada and I want to go.
Oh man, dude, you got to come.
I have some friends that are entrepreneurs there, like Sol Orwell of examine.com.
Okay.
And you should know he's a cool cat.
Okay.
Him and I, we're on the speaker circuit often. And so we've spoken at a couple of different conferences together. Great Canadian entrepreneur.
That's awesome. And
maybe
you kind of cut off there. You said maybe, and then it just like went really choppy. Can you say it again?
Yeah. So I was saying that might be a good like low hanging fruit way for us all to connect. And I would bring Sol and some other cats, and you could bring some cool people, and
cool.
Might be kind of a fun experience to dial in.
I'm down. I think I might be in New York City sometime soon to visit Swoosh. I think you know Swoosh.
That's right.
Yeah. And if I'm down there, I'll shoot Adam a text. And if you guys are around, I'll stop by the office so I can shake your hand and say thank you in person.
Yep. Sounds good, buddy.
Cheers, okay,
man.
Cool.
Thanks so much for your time. I appreciate you.
You're welcome, man. I'll do an email intro for you and Shauna, the girl on the speaking circuit, so we could get that ball rolling. And I'll leave it up to you to let me know if you want anybody on your podcast that I can hook you up with. And we'll go from there, man. I want to thank you. And I really appreciate all the time and love. Genuinely love your movement. Love what you're up to. And I wouldn't be on this call if I didn't think that genuinely from the bottom of my heart, you're going to make an impact on this world. And I needed to have that conversation with you before you did it all. I appreciate the time and the love, brother. Have a great Monday, and let's connect soon.
All right, brother. Cheers, Nick. Have
Best
a great
wishes.
One.
Bye.
Yo, I'm going to start experimenting with outros, see how this goes. I feel like that's what the show has been missing, but I hope you folks enjoyed that episode with John. Like I said at the beginning, that was one of my favorite conversations I've ever had in a very long time. I gave it to you all neat and raw. I had my editors cut out nothing from it. So if you did enjoy it, and if you have enjoyed the podcast and the episode so far, it means so much for the actual show to get rates, reviews, subscribes on Apple Podcasts, and even follows and listens and shares on places like Spotify. Share it with a friend. These little things actually do so much more than you could possibly imagine for me, and it's always highly appreciated. But the most appreciative thing that I have to say is just thank you for being here, and thank you for being a part of this community that I'm slowly nurturing and slowly building. And there's more to come. So I love you all. And also, if you did enjoy the show, definitely reach out to John and give him a follow on Instagram. Check out his stuff on YouTube. He is helping a lot of lives, mine included. And I think that he's just somebody that I would highly encourage you folks looking up to and taking heed on. So taking heed on, I don't know if that's the right word. Anyways, peace.